What I mean is that when you create content, you always have your students in mind. You always have in mind that you want to help them, right? Because actually, your success is going to depend on it, right? Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Alvaro.
And yeah, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me onto your podcast.
And yeah, so as usual, let's start by asking you about your experience with languages, like, you know, the languages that you speak. How did you learn them?
So the first language I learned was in the traditional way in school, and it was the English language. But before I learned the English language, I had I was interested in English because of songs. I listened to a lot of English songs and watched a lot of English movies. So I knew English actually before I even learned it in school. And then in fifth grade, I think we started to learn the first language, and yeah, it was very easy. So English was basically my best subject, I would say, and I was most interested in, not because the way they taught it in school, but because I was interested in the culture also, the music and the movies and things like that. And then in school, you get the structure, basically, the grammar and all that. I was never that much interested in the grammar, but because of hearing the language, it sounded natural to me. And I didn't know maybe the rules to it, but it sounded right to me. And so, yeah, that's basically how I learned it.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like, well, first of all, you were super interested in the language, which always helps, right?
Yeah.
But then, because you've been listening to to songs and watching movies beforehand, you had already acquired a lot of the language. So when you started with classes, it was familiar to you, or you could understand.
Exactly.
And that's why you did well, actually, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Many times. Because most people do both, meaning going to traditional classes, but at the same time listening to songs or reading or whatever they're interested in, we give classes the credit because that's the way we think some languages should be learned. And because it's more measurable, right? Because when you're listening to songs or watching movies, you can't really measure how much you've improved on a specific day, right? So you can say, okay, so I've been listening to an hour of English songs. I've gotten this much better, right? You can't really measure that, but that's actually what's helping you in my eyes, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So when I think about the other languages, we also learned French and later on Spanish. And at university later, I had a few other language classes, but English was, I was most exposed to English. I never got so deep into French culture, for example. So I was never that good at it. So when I'm learning a language, I would take the other approach. I would first see what am I interested in or what do I like, for example, food or, as I said, music. And then from there, I would go to the rest, to the structure and grammar.
So when you started learning French, you hadn't listened to French before, right? You were starting
exactly from... exactly. I never listened to French music or to movies, but I remember is we had an exchange. I didn't take part in the exchange, but a lot of other students did, and when they came back, they were so their language improved so much because they got to know other French people and the French culture, and they made new friends and all that. And so they got very into the culture and they learned to love the language.
Right. Yeah, I always think about that because I don't know if it's the whole, is it the chicken or the egg first, you know? Because for example, with German, the moment I started learning German and understanding a little bit more, I realized that I got more and more interested in the culture. I never knew a lot about Germany in that sense. I don't know, it's just I didn't learn German in school, so I wasn't that close to the culture in general. But the moment I started with the language, I started to become more interested in a lot of different things concerning Germany. And sometimes it's the other way around, but I think it's key, or it's actually essential in your learning journey.
Absolutely. So when did you learn, or when did you start to learn German?
So it's around a year ago. I'm still in that stage in which I'm consuming a lot of content, listening, but I can't speak the language yet, right? But yes, I've been, well, first of all, I started because I started from scratch. Of course, there are some similarities with English, so certain words that you can understand right away because of English. But I started with a YouTube channel with Catherine Schittmann, which is a German teacher that during the pandemic, she started creating videos for her students. She's a school teacher. She started creating like stories for kids, but in a comprehensible way with a lot of gestures and drawings and so on. And they were comprehensible for complete beginners like me. So that's how I started. And then little by little, more, a little bit more complex resources on YouTube. But same thing, like my friend Anna from Comprehensible German. No, wait, no, not comprehensible, Naturlich German.
Natürlich German.
Yeah. She also started creating videos about German culture. But back to that point, she made it comprehensible, or she makes it comprehensible, but she talks about German culture or yeah, a lot of different things about Germany. So it helps me learn the language, and it's interesting at the same time, right? Back to the point. And then I found your channel, which I recommend to everyone
Thank you.
listening to this, because you really do a great job of talking about real daily things that we go through, or your experience with real things, but in a comprehensible way.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because the channel is for it's probably not for absolute beginners who don't have any other knowledge of German. It's more for people who already know a bit. Like you said, you started like a year ago and you listened to German and you basically got into the language a bit. So for people who have that foundation, yeah, it ha helps or it might be interesting. Not so much for complete beginners, unless you're very I don't know, you really want to learn the language and you want to figure it out, then maybe. But yeah, it's a challenge to make it natural to talk about personal things, daily things, and at the same time convey the language. So I would say the ideal student would be a student who is active on its own. I don't have English subtitles on it. There are only German subtitles. So you need to figure it out, or you need to be active, look things up if you don't understand them. And yeah, that's it's not that easy, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wouldn't be able to understand your videos if I was starting from scratch. Like, because I had that previous knowledge, I could understand your videos, right? Yeah, but back to your point, back to what you're talking about. Well, first the subtitle part. Actually, I'm not a big fan of subtitles in the native language, so English this case, like you talked about. So I really love the way you use German. Like for people, you can go to her channel and enjoy her videos, but you see that you like the stories you tell, you write them down as well, right? And that's helpful because it's the target language, it's German. But if you did that in English, like with English subtitles, I don't like that idea in general because my mind as a language student is going to go with what I know best, which is English in this case. And I'm going to understand what you're talking about because I understand the English part, not necessarily because I understand what you're talking about in German. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah, so you read the English subtitles and then you understand it basically in English and not so much.
Right. I understand the story because I speak English, not because I understand what you're talking about in German, right? So what I mean is because I have the English subtitles, you could be talking, I don't know, like fictional language, like Dothraki from Game of Thrones, right? And I would understand, but I wouldn't be connecting the sounds in German or the words in German with their meaning.
I see. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought about putting English subtitles because sometimes you see comments or sometimes you get emails. Can you put English subtitles? Not so many, but a few. And I thought about it, but then if you really want to learn the language, if you want to put the work into it, probably not. Yeah, if you want to go deeper into it, you can go to the website and there you have the option to translate it, but not like the whole text, but sentences or words. So that makes it a bit easier for you. Yeah, I think I keep it in German for now.
I mean, I think those comments from people are our how to put it into words, like we adults, we freak out when we don't have conscious control over things, right? So we want to know at all times what we're listening to. It's like if we don't understand the whole thing, we freak out. So just give me the English subtitle so I can understand, but that's not going to help you learn the language, which is
Yeah.
the main goal.
Yeah. And it's also you want to learn it instantly, and a language, yeah, you probably do not learn instantly. It takes time, it's a process, and you should take the time, yeah, to learn the language. So if you just need the language to pass a test or to get your certificate, then there's other ways to learn. But yeah, a language you should learn. Take your time, put the work into it, get to know the culture and learn it that way, I think.
Absolutely. And I'd say when it comes to your videos, you're probably not going to understand them if you're starting from scratch, like I said. But if you've been listening to German, reading German for a while, like I was, you do a great job of using pictures and context and things to convey the meaning, right? So you don't really need the subtitles to understand what you're talking about because you do a great job in that way, like I said.
Yeah, thank you. I try to. I'm not a professional editor, so editing videos is definitely a challenge, and to visualize what I'm saying is also a challenge because you cannot sometimes not visualize every word or even every sentence, but I'm trying to visualize as much as I can. And the feedback that you gave me is good to hear, because I want them to see what they hear as much as possible.
Sometimes you have some abstract concepts that they're really hard to visualize or to use picture, right? Like things like hope or things like that. It's just what image do you use for that, right?
Exactly, yeah, especially when it's so you cannot grasp it, then how do you visualize it? But Now, when I write a story, I try to be very, even if it's an abstract thing, I try to talk about it in a, how do you say that? Make it more, what's the word? Not definite, but so you can visualize it basically. Talk about it in a more concrete way, even if it's an abstract concept. So you can give examples or how you see things, and yeah, in that way.
And I think like getting back to the first question and trying to connect that with content creation is because you have your experiences with English and French and Spanish. You know what I mean, because you experienced that from the student standpoint. You know what you need to create in order to help your students or your viewers in this case, right? Like you try to make it comprehensible, like you're saying as much as you can. You're using pictures, you're using real life context, right? And then you. I guess you're talking about real life stories because you like that part, or because you think it's going to be the more interesting approach, or what was your idea there?
That's what I like to listen to. When I go to YouTube and watch something, I like to watch personal things, like people talk about their everyday life or their experience. That's what I like to see. And there's not a lot of else I can talk about other than my experiences. Yeah, if I have a topic that is abstract and I can only talk about what I think about it or how I see that without having that experience, it's difficult for me to write. So I always try to write something what I experienced. Yeah, that's basically the concept of it. Yeah.
And how about some conversations with other German people? I mean, the thing there is you need to not convince, but you need to tell the other person to communicate in a way that is comprehensible for your potential viewers, right? But I think it gives you more content and more ideas to talk about daily life, or you can have people from different regions in Germany and you can talk about the differences between, I don't know, people from Berlin and people from Bochum, right? Or the north of Germany, or the differences between east and west, north and south. The food in different places, and
Oh yeah, I like to talk about food. I think I talked about food in a couple of videos. But the concept is more like a diary style. Yeah, you or that's what I had in mind at least. You at the beginning or at the end of the day, you write about your thoughts about your life basically, and that's the concept of it. Yeah, if I want to talk about the differences about north and south, east and west, I can only talk about that in a way if I have a conversation with someone else and if I ask them what's your life there, how did you grow up, what is your experience, how is your life and all that. But so far, I think I haven't done that. There are maybe a couple of interviews on the channel, but it moved a bit to just stories. Yeah. And I think in the future, it would be not only my experiences, my stories, but also something that more into the fantasy world, maybe. Yeah. What could possibly happen? You think it a bit further. And yeah, just to try out different styles, basically. In the end, it's all about the language. Yeah, how do you create something with your words and with your sentences? And you can talk about anything as long as it's about the language. So
Yeah, and as long as you make it interesting,
Exactly, interesting, yeah.
and what we're talking about all the time, like it needs to be comprehensible and interesting, or even compelling, and that's perfect content for me. And yeah, but you're talking about fantasy. Yeah, I think like stories or fantasy, they also can be really useful because, well, first of all, for people who enjoy that, it's super interesting. And then the additional good thing about fantasy or stories is that, how can I explain that? When you're creating everyday life content, you're talking about different things that you do in your daily life. People may tend to pay attention to the specific structure you're using to describe your life, right? Because our conscious mind as adults thinks that that's something we can use in a life. But with fantasy, especially when you're talking about dragons or whatever it is, like not real things, and you combine that with the power of stories in general, it makes your students or your viewers focus even more on the message because they're trying to picture that world in their minds, right? So they're not really paying that much attention to form, to whether you're using this specific verb or this other one, and this conjugation or the other one, whatever it is. So that's really useful as well. And fantasy, you can talk about, you can create pretty much any type of story that you can think of, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, if you describe your dream, for example, it's not the real world, and you creating basically a different world with your words and with images. And
Nice.
yeah, maybe that can be also interesting for language learners. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no. That
Yeah.
was.
No, and if you remember them, you have content every day, right? Just kidding. With your dreams, I mean.
I mostly don't remember my dreams, so if I would write a story, I have to come up with something basically, which is always a challenge. To what content do you to put out? What do you write about? How do you write it? And it can take a very long time to write a story. When I started the channel, I said every week a story, but it's very hard to write a story every week. So that's definitely a challenge, yeah, to create content and not only write the story, but also edit it into a video. That's been a big challenge for me. So if you go to the channel, you see that the videos are not like, I'm not putting them out on a regular basis. Sometimes a few weeks go by until I have a new story. That's very challenging.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of time, right?
Yeah, no,
But
it takes a lot of time.
yeah, well, I was thinking about the content creation part. I don't know if you're doing that, but I think something that could be really useful when it comes to giving you ideas is just asking people in your community. Like you have a pretty big channel, so like the community tab on YouTube, right? You can ask them questions or surveys, or even in the comments in your videos, ask people, so did you enjoy this type of idea, or what would you like me to talk about? Because they're probably going to give you ideas that you didn't think about.
Yeah, I'm happy about every idea I can get. Sometimes people focus too much on grammar, so they say, can you talk about this grammar topic or that grammar topic? And I think this is not a grammar channel, this is a storytelling channel. But even if they don't write it to you directly, you can see how many comments you got on that video, or What type of comments do you get? What type of emails do you get? So you can see if that was an interesting topic, or maybe it was too difficult, maybe it was not interesting enough. So even if they don't tell you directly, you know, you still know.
Or you could, I don't know, I'm thinking like in the community tab, for example, you can create surveys. So you can, so what topic would you like me to talk about in the next video? So, and you can give them even different options that you had already thought about, and then the option to write down their own answer in the comments, for example, right?
Yeah, that's a good idea. So the survey function. The last survey I did was if the German is too difficult, so the level of German. And I thought maybe a lot of more people would say, yes, it's too difficult, but I think over 70% said, no, it's the right level for me. So that was surprising. And yeah, I don't have to change a lot or adjust or anything. So yeah, that function is very helpful, definitely.
But I think the reason why, so from my perspective, because I'm consuming your content, if I didn't have the visual help, probably I wouldn't understand some of your stories. But because of it, I do understand, like, all of them actually. Like, there's some words here and there that I don't get, but that's totally fine because I get the idea. I perfectly understand what you're talking about. So I actually think it's great because you sort of talk about things that might be a little bit over our comprehension when it comes to the language they're using, but because you're using so many pictures and context, it's actually comprehensible.
I
So
see.
you're sort of stretching our German, but in a good way, if that makes sense. You
Yeah,
know.
that's interesting. So, yeah, maybe the videos are the most easy to understand because you have the visuals. There are certain how do you say, certain steps you can take. You can just consume the video and understand it by looking at the visuals. And then if you want to go deeper, you can take the text and you have just the text in front of you. You have the audio. Yeah, you can play the audio and just read along. And if you don't understand it, you can translate the text basically. So you don't understand a sentence, you can translate the whole sentences and make notes and go a little bit deeper. So from the it goes from the easier to the more difficult. And the goal at the end is to understand, even if you don't have the video, if you just have the text basically.
That's good. That's good. And yeah, I'm thinking about different ideas. And so how about some, doing some research beforehand? So instead of you coming up with the story, how about, I don't know, talking about some German traditions or some German like mytho, like this my friend Anna that I talked about, she's got a playlist with mythology, you know, like Asgard and, you know, like Northern mythology. I know, I'm just trying to come up with different ideas because, for example, in my channel, back to what where we were talking about, I try to use different ideas, in which, again, I try to think of interesting things and how to make them comprehensible at the same time, right? So I'm creating stories on my own, but I'm playing games as well. I'm trying to always introduce, if I can, like a gamifying experience somehow within the context of stories, right? So for example, in one type of story, I'm creating a story, but like fictional story, I'm coming up with it. You know, whenever there's an important moment in the story, I come up with four different scenarios, four different possibilities, and I use a die to decide which way we're gonna go next, right? I don't know, try to make it that way. And yeah, I'm even thinking about like the future, even live stories. So going live and creating stories in which viewers sort of come up with the details of it. Details mean like they need to listen to me in order to learn the language, right? So I'll be coming out with stories. I'll be talking all the time. But whenever we need to decide whether the main character, is going to go to Hawaii to find a treasure or whatever it is, or a different option, the chat is going to come up with it. So the viewers are going to come out with the answer. I don't know, things like that. I'm just thinking out loud, but.
Yeah, definitely more interactive. So how do you come up with stories or with content?
Well, stories. So I really enjoy that part, first of all, and because of my classes, that's what I do for the most part. Like we create stories together. I've really developed my creativity, my imagination a lot. So I feel more and more comfortable with just improvising. And because I do that every day in my classes. I also have a lot of ideas that, I use that idea in this class so I can use it in a story for YouTube or things like that. Or things that I'm thinking about recently is, I don't know, you could talk about hidden places in Germany that a lot of people don't know about. Because if you're talking about Germany, people know about Berlin, of course. People know about, I don't know, Munich, right? Or so I'm trying to, I don't know. You could talk about, because that's a video I'm creating right now, for example, with for Spain. So seven wonderful places that you didn't know about in northern Germany, for example. And instead of talking about Hamburg, you talk about little villages or little landmarks or wonderful landscapes that not a lot of people know about, or traditional food from Germany. I even started a series in which I haven't created any video in a long time in that topic, but I talked about just one real life topic, and I talk about my opinion on it, whether it's overrated or underrated for me. Actually, in one episode, I talked about wine. I know that was going to be controversial, but no, just kidding. But you don't need to go that route. But so I talked about wine being overrated, but that's my opinion, of course. That's totally fine. But it's a real life topic, and at the same time, I'm talking about my opinion, and then people can talk about their opinion in the comments. So you sort of take the attention off of the language itself and focus it on the topic, which is what you want to do as a language teacher, right?
So if you, for example, talk about seven underrated places, have you been to these places, or do you just research about these places, or what do you do?
The one I'm well, actually, I created the video, but I need to edit it. It's I haven't been to those places, so I've done some research, and but I use pictures as well, right? So I create the script first, right? But then I have a picture, so and viewers are going to see the picture, and with a pen, like a virtual pen. So okay, so this place is in this specific point in Spain. And you see these amazing mountains, and I can point at them and circle them with like the virtual pen. And so I talk a bit about their history and or how they, if they're a natural thing, how they formed, right? Or whatever it is. But at the same time, viewers are seeing the picture, and I'm pointing at specific details in the picture. So I'm sort of describing the picture, describing the place, but talking about history at the same time.
Yeah, Yeah, I can imagine that that would be very interesting for a lot of people who want to know more about the country and the culture. Another challenge is also when I do the visuals, you only have a certain how do you say a pool of images that you can take. So if you want to, for example, talk about a very specific place or thing, you either have to go there and photograph it yourself, or you have to research a lot. Sometimes you cannot use that picture because of copyright issues and all that. So all this comes also into play of how what you're talking about, how you're talking about it, and all that.
I see what you mean. Or you could just, you could talk about more popular landmarks or tourist destinations or whatever it is, because you're gonna find pictures like copyright-free pictures of the Brandenburg Gate, for example.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So you can just put a picture of the Brandenburg Gate. You can describe things while you talk about the history of it, or what this little carriage means, or why it's there, and or if you talk about I don't know, like other things in Berlin, other things in German cities that are more popular, so you can find pictures on Pixabay or where like websites like that. And describe them at the same time. You describe the picture while talking about the history of the place. And I think, I mean, I'm thinking about my perspective as a student. I would love that.
Yeah, that is for a lot of people very interesting. Yeah, to learn about the history and the culture. That's what a lot of people want.
And I've even done a couple of videos about like virtual city tours.
No, yeah.
So again, you have to do some research. But for example, the first video I did was Krakow, the city where I live. So I knew a lot of the things already. So but you can go through YouTube videos or you websites, learn a little bit about the history.
Yeah, what I like to see is those they're called walking tours. So people just go with their camera and just walk from one place to the other. I watched a few from, I think, New York, and they just do a 2-hour walk, just about, and they're not talking that much. Yeah, they if they pass like a certain restaurant or a certain landmark, they talk about it, but just to see, the how the streets look, how the people look, how the stores look. That alone is interesting to me.
That's an idea I've been thinking about, like, because especially cities like New York, there are a lot of copyright-free videos like that that you can actually use in your videos, and you're the one describing what's going on. So you put up the video of walking people walking in New York. You're gonna find videos of every single type, right? It's New York, so you can use the video. So viewers look at the video like people walking in New York, but you're describing what's going on, right? So you're talking about, so now they're going to Central Park because they want to visit. You can even create your own story, right? Just they're going to Central Park because they're meeting a friend from Germany, just making it up on the fly, right? But and yeah, that's something that I'd love to do as well. And I'm just coming up with ideas now. What another one that I started that I want to do more of is, so I took all movies, like copyright free movies, right? Like Western movies from the 40s, 50s, things like that. And my idea was to play like, I don't know, 4 or 5 minute scenes, but to make it more of a game again, my idea is to play the what's going to happen next thing. So to give you an example, the video I created, there's a train, the first scene, there's a train. And at some point, I stop the video and I give the audience four options. So, what do you think is going to happen next? So the train is gonna arrive, peacefully at a village. Option number two, they're gonna have an accident. Option number three, like four different options, and they have to guess what's gonna happen next.
That's for your lessons or do, for the videos you do?
That was a video on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm describing the. Obviously, the movie's mute, right? So I'm describing what's going on in the movie, but three, four times in the video, I stop the video to give them four options. What they think it's gonna happen next.
Yeah.
So for example, this one was a Western movie, So at one point, two, three guys enter the typical saloon, like the bar from the Western movies. So what do you think is going to happen now? They're going to get into a fight, like typical. That's actually what happened, by the way. But so you think about four different outcomes, and they're not really choosing like people at home, but you give them four options so they can think about what they think they're gonna ha is gonna happen next, and then at the end of the video they can let you know in the comments like how many did they get right, for example, right? And they're gonna see the next scene, so they're gonna see what happens next, so they're gonna know if they got it right or not, right? But I don't know, it's just a way to make it interesting and sort of game-like experience.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah. I think I often want them to participate more, but you have to give them the option, you know, to participate. So that would be yeah, a good option if they can decide what's going to happen next or what does this character do.
Right.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
like
Or
that idea.
when I'm creating a story, at the end of it, at the end of one chapter, the main character is going to have to decide what he's going to do about this specific thing. Or, is he, I don't know, is he going to talk, is he going to call his friend or his mom, or whatever it is? But, so at the end of the story, I asked them an open question, like sort of the what's going to happen next, but instead of a video in which we're going to see what happens next, they come up with their own ideas. So I choose one to create the next chapter.
There are also these books that do the same thing. You can decide, do you want the character to go to this door or do you want the character to go this way? And if you want them to go this way, then turn to page six or something like that. And so you have different versions of the book depending on which decision you make.
Yeah, they call it like pick your own adventure books, I think.
Say again.
I think they're called pick your own adventure books, right?
Oh, okay.
Actually, I use that idea in my classes. I haven't used it on YouTube yet, but in my classes, we're creating a story. So we're creating the story first, and then we can read it. So you can use them twice. So and that gives you more options as well. And there's a website, I think it's called bookgame.me. Well, I've already done afterwards, but so you can actually create those books, right? So you write, the first page, or at the end of the page, the character needs to decide between three different options. So you create them, right? And I use those in my classes, and we create those with the students. So the main character needs to. He's got a problem, or she's got a problem. Three different options, right? So if she or he decides to take this option, this happens. Just like you said, but you can actually create those books. And afterwards, you can read them with your students. Or I need to think about how to use that on YouTube when you don't have the live feedback, right?
Yeah, it's kind of complex, and I think you have to put in a lot of thought, yeah, to create that story and to create the different scenes and endings and all that. I don't know if I would be able to do it, but I go more into the microscopic aspect of it, even also if it's culture. So if you go the seven underrated, most underrated places in wherever, I go more into a personal experience where you can find different cultural things. For example, what if I talk about I was spending a day at my grandmother's and I was eating that bread with that spread, and she was talking about this and that. So you have in that story these different cultural hints, even if they are not like that prominent. Yeah, so it's also a personality thing. How, who are you, and what do you want to create? What comes out of you that is basically you? So it's always a kind of a battle. Do I want to go in this direction because now I'm more like this, or do I want to go in that direction? Do I want to keep that direction? So it's always a constant battle with yourself. What do you create and how do you create it? Yeah.
Yeah, man, I mean, makes a lot of sense. Like, I personally love the storytelling, story creation thing. Because I enjoy that as a content creator, but as someone consuming that content, like stories and fiction and so on. And I love reading fiction books as well. So, yeah, but you can definitely. Like back to your example, you can talk about your experience eating some food, some traditional food from Germany at your grandma's. So you're talking about your personal experience, which you feel more comfortable with, or it feels more natural to you.
Exactly,
But
yeah.
at the same time, you're talking about, traditional food or tradition, or you can talk about, the same idea. So you travel to Berlin or Hamburg or Frankfurt or different cities in Germany. So you can talk about my favorite places in Berlin, for example. So you don't need to talk about the Brandenburg Gate, but you can talk about a little thing that you really loved on your trip to Germany,
Yeah.
to Berlin, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That would be more my style, I think. 'Cause I'm the person who likes to read diaries or to read about other people's experiences, how they see the world, how they make sense of the world. And that's why I create the content that I create. Yeah.
Yeah, but I see why, I mean, obviously your personality, but I see why you like that. But I love that. I mean, I think it's really helpful. Sorry, I can't find the word today. I think it's super helpful from the student point of view as well. Like that style, it really helps you understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So yeah, we can think about different options in that way. But for people listening to this episode, go to her channel, consume her stories, and people can let us know if they enjoy that. And back to the community example, that you can ask them about what topics they want you to talk about or different ideas, but then you can adjust them to your style again, right?
Yeah.
So you can keep, sorry, you can stick to your style, but they're gonna give you a lot of ideas, I'm
Oh
sure.
yeah.
That's
Yeah.
the ones we're coming up with now, right? Like, I'm sure you've visited a lot of different cities in Germany, right? So you can talk about
I was thinking, did I? But yeah, I did. Yeah, I know a few cities. But yeah, if there are language German language learners out there who see this, yeah, and go to my channel, give me some feedback if this is helpful or what else you would like to see. Yeah, I always love feedback. I get too less of feedback sometimes, I think. So the more feedback, the better. It doesn't matter if it's good or if you have some critique. Yeah, I'm open to anything.
Yeah, but I personally think they're super useful. Yeah. So
Thank you.
I want you to create more content.
I try. I try.
Of course, of course. Nah, just kidding, just kidding. I mean, not kidding. I'm obviously love that, but whatever you can do, and you know, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also I was thinking about a way in which you or me, you know, we can create more content while keeping it natural and interesting, but not spend as much time in ed editing, so we can create more often, right? That's something I'm always obsessed with.
Yeah, and it makes sense because on the one side you have your idea, your vision, what you want to do, and on the other hand it's a business that you need to keep going basically. And how do you put those two together, which is a struggle for me. I put too much time and too much thought maybe into the content, and then after that I have to figure out how do I implement all that. And recently I tried to work with an editor, and then I learned about the challenges. Yeah, if you have your own vision, your own images, and you give the story to an editor and he or she has a completely different vision.
Right.
And yeah, that was an interesting experience. But yeah, in the future I have to think more about how can you make it more sustainable, because it's a business. Yeah, you have to make it, you have to make money off of it if you want to keep doing that. And how do you do that? That's always difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and at the same time, you know, looking at students again or viewers, when it comes to languages, when it comes to language acquisition, what students really need is as much input as possible, right? So if you're creating two videos a week, for example, you're going to be helping your students more if you're creating just one every 2 weeks, for example, right? You know, of course, you gotta find your own personal balance, right? But because I really want to help my students, I want to create as much content as possible. Because I you know, like selfishly, I selfishly enjoy that creative process as well, right?
Yeah.
So it's not only about putting out more content to help my students, which is the main thing, of course, but I also enjoy that part. So I'm obsessed with thinking about ideas that I can create, you know, not in a hurry, but that doesn't take me forever to edit or write beforehand, you know. And I think
Yeah.
those cultural things could really be helpful in a way. Or you know, your experience with trips to other German cities, or your trip in Thailand, or you know, you can talk about little pieces about your opinion about specific topics, or cultural shocks, differences between, you know, your home country and your trip to that specific country.
Yeah, at this point, I came to the conclusion that you can basically talk about anything. Yeah, it doesn't really matter as long as it's your perspective. Yeah, and other people have their perspective, and they can that's a foundation you can talk about. So oh, interesting, you experience it this way, I experience it this way and that way, and so you can talk about anything, it doesn't really matter. So the next topic I'm going to do is heat. Yeah, the heat wave. We had a heat wave recently, yeah, where it got really hot, and how do you cope with it? Yeah, I know in other countries it gets much hotter, but this is our experience. This is the hottest it got recently, and how do you cope with it? So how do you say, it's a big issue, but you can in talking about it, or in talking about your own experiences, you make it on a micro level basically, and share your experiences like that. Yeah, you don't have to go into like I don't know, politics or climate change, but how, what's the effect on your daily life? How do you cope with it, basically? So in that way, you can talk about anything. Yeah.
So it's not controversial because it's not politics, but and they said at the same time you're talking about real life, right?
Yeah.
And like real life content that we're all going through right now, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something that we all going through that we can all relate to. So it's a very simple topic where everybody has their opinion. And yeah, that's
And one, no, sorry, like one thing I really love about your videos is, I don't know if it's the case for everybody, but I'm really a lot into personal development and, from the point of view, I'm really interested by, us adults really talking about our feelings and opening up and honesty and, just not talking about the weather with no emotion whatsoever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really go deep into your personal feelings about, how, so you just don't, back to your example, you just don't talk about the heat wave. You talk about how you feel about it, which is something that I'm passionate about, like about being real. And because again, you can talk about the weather, just like you said, but not from the perspective of, how it's so hot. Not on a superficial level, if you may, but you talk about how you feel about it or why, for example, in that example, why you feel frustrated about something you have no control over, right? So you're using that topic sort of as a segue to talk about your feelings to and you end up connecting even more with the audience. But again, that's my experience because I
Exactly.
love that part.
Yeah.
That's the case for everybody, but I'm talking from my point of view. I love that about your videos because you open up about how you feel about things, which is a topic that I'm super passionate about as well. So at the end of the day, you try to combine things. So, I'm passionate about stories, games, like I said, talking about our feelings. So I try to connect them if possible, right? So I create a story in which the character talks about his or her feelings, while they play a game, this so you can combine of your the things that you're passionate about and you keep it like real life, so it's interesting for your audience. And because you have feedback from them, you know what topics they're interested in, right? So you can talk about those topics from your perspective, right? So you can actually put everything together and talk about the things that you're passionate about in the way you want to talk about them and in a way that it's interesting for your audience, right? And of course, you use your images to make it comprehensible, which in the end is key, right? But like sort of the whole picture.
I think if you talk about something you're interested in, or if you're connecting with it, then there's a possibility that it also connects to other people. The other people, as you said, might like that more superficial style. Yeah, maybe they like to talk just about what type of weather is there without having that personal connection. So it's a, as you said, totally different preferences. Yeah, which is okay. But you have your style, I have my style, and I just want to attract the people who are enjoying that type of content.
And yeah, exactly. So that's your personal touch, right? So you
Exactly.
like talking about how you feel about those things, not just about those things, but how you feel about them, right? Which again is something that I'm super passionate about. So I really loved your videos because of it.
Thank you.
Like I said, because they're comprehensible, they help me with German. But I love that part as well. It keeps me more engaged. It feels more real to me. As opposed to, so today is sunny, tomorrow is gonna be windy, I mean, it's always interesting when you're able to understand a new language. That's always exciting, of course. But if you're doing that while enjoying the content itself, I think that's like double useful, right?
Oh yeah, and that brings us back to the beginning. Like before you learn the language, you're getting interested in something else, for example, the music or the art or whatever, and then you have that connection, and that makes it easier for me to get into the language.
Right.
Yeah.
I would sum it up by saying that I think our main focus should be on helping our audience, right? So what's in it for them, while keeping our personal touch and and talking about the things we want to talk about in the way we want to talk about, right? But not just make it quote unquote selfish, but have our audience or our students always in mind, because our ultimate goal is to help them learn the language, right? Or even entertain them, right? But I think it could be like fine line, but I think if you're able to find that balance, that's probably the ideal type of content in my eyes, which I And what I don't mean that you create the things that your audience wants you to create, that you don't have a saying in it, right? But what I mean is that when you create content, you always have your students in mind. Because you always have in mind that you want to help them, right? Because actually, your success is going to depend on it, right? Right.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I'd say, use your personal touch, right? Talk about things you want to talk about in the way you want to talk about them. But always think about how you're going to help them, right? And that might be using more pictures so you help them understand, or whatever it is. But if I think this works for languages, but I guess it works for everything, that if you have your customer, client, student, viewer, whatever you want to call it, in mind, if you're really creating it for them, I think your chances to be successful, whatever success means to you, are going to be greater.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a line between satisfying your viewers or your customers and still being true to what you want to do.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, yeah, I also think you're going to be successful, definitely.
Yeah, which is totally fine and doable. Like you don't have to compromise either way, right? You can get both, right? All right. So yeah, that was a bit of a different episode, but I really enjoyed it because, at the end of the day, like I said, I encourage everyone to leave your comments down below, because do you find it interesting? What type of content would you like to see from me or from her or in general? For those who went to look at her channel, give us feedback as well.
Yeah, please, please. I'm happy about any feedback, positive or negative. Yeah, the viewers have a lot of power or a lot of say. Sometimes maybe they don't realize, but if it's possible, I will adjust. Yeah, and I will listen.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about any feedback.
Yeah, and it takes just one idea to really click, and it might be an idea that you thought about yourself, but in a different way or from a different angle, and that's gonna spark your creativity, and you're gonna be able to create so many more videos because of that one idea, right? Like I get ideas all the time from conversation with people, or from listening to podcasts myself, not about language learning, but about different things. Like, to give you a final example, like a year ago, I was listening to a podcast in Portuguese, and in which they talked about like what if, or alternative scenarios. Like, what if, I don't know. I'm trying to remember any episode now. What if humans could fly, for example, right? Or things like that. What if scenarios? And I thought about, so I can really use that in my classes or my YouTube videos. Because again, it's a story you create, but you talk us about a somehow real scenario, right? And that gave me ideas for content. And so, that happens all the time.
So the challenge is to get the other in the lessons, to get the other person engaged, or get the other person just speaking. Just speaking is oftentimes a big hurdle, because a lot of people are very insecure, or they are perfectionists, and just to get them engaged and get them speaking is the first challenge. Yeah, and if you can engage them with your style, or any way you can, that is always helpful.
All right. Anything else that we forgot to talk about, Sharon?
No, I don't think so. So yeah, it was, I think, my first podcast ever. I was a bit nervous. But yeah, thank you again for inviting me. And
My pleasure.
yeah, if any German language learners out there comment, I'm happy about any feedback.
Yeah, like I leave all the comments down below, but for everyone is my German short stories.
Exactly. My German short stories is the name of the website and the YouTube channel.
Perfect. So thank you so much, Sharim. I
You're
loved
welcome.
it, like I said. And yeah,
Thank you.
bye bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks so much for watching this interview. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was helpful for you. And if you want to know more about language learning, language acquisition, like what's the best way to learn a language, ideas for language learning, the best resources at different levels. Here you can find the whole playlist with all the interviews I've done so far with different researchers, teachers, polyglots, and so on. And finally, right here, you smash this guy right in the face to subscribe to my channel. I really appreciate it, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye bye.